Thank you, Lord.
Turn with me.
Glory.
To 2 Peter chapter 3. I don't think we went to this verse last week. Or did we? Did we go to 2 Peter chapter 3 last week?
I don't think so.
Verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So Peter says, I'm going to stir some things up. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, knowing this primary, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. I'm convinced we're in the last days. Has anybody noticed any scoffers out there lately?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the media's full of it, the internet's full of it. Your friends are full of it a lot of times, or, you know, people you encounter daily, making fun of your walk with God, making fun of God Himself and what God's doing. Normal standards we walk by, making fun of it. But it says in verse 4, and saying, the scoffers are saying this, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So apparently what they're scoffing is what you're declaring is going to take place prophetically. They're not just scoffing that you're saved. You follow me? Because here's Peter's tying the scoffing to a specific topic. The things are going to change. There's going to be a shift, a divine shift take place on earth.
Yes, it is.
And the scoffers are mocking that you believe things are going to change. Right now they're scoffing because there's going to be a rapture. They're making plans for it. I've known this, you know, they're talking about aliens all the time now.
Oh, yeah.
But even 40 years ago, they were talking about aliens.
Oh, yeah.
And the story was 40 years ago that when the rapture takes place, the story is going to be aliens came and took all the negative energy off of the planet. Not God, aliens. And it's interesting to me right now that at this time that we're getting closer and closer to the rapture. I believe we're just a few years away. Maybe just a year. It won't be this year. We're getting very close to it. That at the same time, the alien stories are ramping up. Amen.
Amen.
I read a book. I was at Kenneth Copeland's pastor's conference. I've been several years back, and there was a book that just jumped out at me by Chuck Missler. You might ever hear of Chuck Missler?
Yeah.
Chuck is a creation scientist minister. He used to be on television. I haven't seen him in quite a while. He wrote a book, I believe it was called Alien Encounters. That was a big book. And I saw that in Kenneth Copeland's bookstore. I said, I've got to get that. And the first half of the book were all these stories, genuine encounters with people that had interaction with so-called aliens or UFOs that were very, how can I say, believable, a lot of them. Actual encounters with something else. To let you know, there is some things going on out there that are real. The second half of the book was proof and even scriptural backup that it's all demonic forces.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Acting as their alien entities.
Yes.
Amen. And part of the book spelled out, they don't seem to manifest around Holy Ghost Christians.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And if they do, if you say the name of Jesus, they leave real quick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's all a part of a really demonically inspired hoax to explain away the rapture.
Right.
Because the devil knows it's coming. But tell most people, even a lot of Christians, you believe there's coming a time very soon that God's going to catch away his church or his bride. That's not going to happen. Everything's always as it has been. It's going to continue the same. When you tell them there's going to be a move of God where he brings a revival to bring in his harvest, I don't believe all that stuff. You even say things like, well, I'm going to carry the power of my life, you know, the glory of God to cast out devils, raise the dead, heal the sick. Oh, how ridiculous. Scoffers. All things continue the same as they always have. But you know what? There was a time the scoffers were wrong.
Amen.
I would venture to say back in Moses' day, when Israel was in captivity to Egypt, there were some saying, God's going to get us out of here. Now, we've been slaves over 400 years. They're not going to get us out of here. But there was a time Moses showed up. Amen?
Amen.
There was a time that Israel was in captivity to first Assyria, then Judea was captive to Babylon, and then the Medes and Persians took over. And there was prophecy. They'd only be there 70 years for Judah to be there for 70 years. And people were saying, I'm sure it's coming time. God's about to set us free. Are you kidding? We're just under another, you know, world ruler, world king. There came a time Osiris showed up to set Israel free. Right? To go back and rebuild. So we have Ezra and Nehemiah written out of that. The mockers were wrong. Then there was a time it was prophesied there would be a virgin give birth. That one happened to the scoffers were wrong. Amen.
Amen.
And we're about to enter a time, we're entering a time that the scoffers are going to be proved it wrong again. God's about to bring his glory on his bride. But we have to cast on ourselves. How can this be? See, the trap is everything stays the same as it has forever. Or for a long time. And our minds are built to project tomorrow to be like yesterday. We're built like that. We're programmed like that. You know, we have, with a little bit of change, Peggy's our main gardener in here. Maybe there's some others. Anybody do any horticulture, any gardening, any growing stuff? A bunch of you. I have a main assignment. It's called cutting grass. And I'm getting close to needing to cut my grass again. Probably in a month or two, I need to cut it again. At my standards. Patty has different standards.
Right.
Mine is if you can't see the dog, it's probably time to cut it.
Exactly.
But I'm from the farm.
Right.
You don't go outside, you just cut your grass yesterday and expect it to be a foot tall today.
Right.
Peggy growing on her things, you know, she's got some little bitty tomatoes on it. She doesn't expect them to look like a softball the next day. You follow me? She expects supernatural growth, but
yeah,
probably not that much.
Right.
We are built to believe for a little bit of change every single day. We've already discovered, we talked about it last week, Jesus is coming soon. He's coming back for a glorious bride.
It sure is.
He's coming back for a church that's bringing an end time harvest in. They're manifesting the power and glory of God, the goodness of God, the love of God. And they're transforming the world around them. I'm part of that. How about you?
Amen.
And it's by the power of God. It's by faith. Just you live by faith, right? But we're not there yet. So as we talked about yesterday, Patty and I were watching a movie last night from 1972. That one of the people in it, one of the people starring in it, I recognized. He was Jackie Gleason's son in Smokey and the Bandit. Remember the deputy?
Yeah.
Daddy.
Junior.
He was actually playing a tough guy starring role in this movie. And one of my favorite things about that movie was the song, Eastbound Down, Loaded Up in Trouble. Anyway, the line, we got a long way to go and a short time to get there. When we started talking about non-linear expectation as end time revivals. Because we're built to believe tomorrow will be like yesterday, we think every time we come to church it'll be about the same. Oh, maybe a little bit of God moving, maybe a little bit of this. I tell you, since we came in here, there's been a shift on the anointing of this building.
Yes, there has.
Some says there's been a shift on the attacks.
Yep, both.
Amen. I haven't noticed it. I think I've been too busy underneath floors. Anyway, for God to get his world going, it's going to take more than just a little bit of step every day. We've got the charts on the board. A linear expectation is believing tomorrow will be just a little bit different than today. But God wants us to go non-linear in our expectation.
Amen.
And our faith and our reaching out and our stretching. That tomorrow is going to be multiplied much greater than yesterday was.
Amen.
I'll carry much more anointing. I'll hear much better the voice of God. Now see, I hear God. How many in here hear God? And I hear God a whole lot better today than I did 40 years ago. You follow me? I hear a lot better today, much more clear. I was hearing it then, but I didn't know how to recognize it as well. But it's been incremental. I believe we're coming to a time when you hear God so clearly, you're just walking hand in hand. So led of the Spirit, you know His every desire for your life. You know His what He likes, what He doesn't like, what He approves of, what He doesn't approve of. And everything you do is about the anointing. At you know what exponential means? Let me explain the exponential for a second. 2 plus 2 is what?
Five.
Scott County High, right? Scott County High?
You've got to count the space between you.
I got you. 2 plus 2 is 4. 2 plus 2 plus 2 is 6. If we did it 4 times, we have 8. 5 times, we have 10, right? That's addition. 2 plus 2 plus 2. If we did it 10 times, what do we have?
20.
2 times 10 is 20. But if I go exponential, I start multiplying. 2 times 2 is what?
4.
It's the same as 2 plus 2. It looks the same. Well, what's 2 times 2 times 2? 2 times 4 is 8. Now, before we're 6, now we're up to 8.
Oh, welcome to the
right.
All right. If we did 2 5 times, it was 10. 2 to the exponential power of 5, 2 to the 5th, is 32. 2 times 10 is 20. 2 to the exponential power of 10 is 1,024. 2 times 20 is... This is just for fun because we really enjoy this stuff. Hello, Renee. It's great to see you today. We're delighted to have you here today.
Thank you.
Bag of donuts in the back somewhere. And the kids did an about face. 2 times 20. That'd be 2 plus 2 plus 2 20 times is 40. 2 to the power of 20 is 1,048,576. In other words, additive comes up to 40. Exponentials, over a million. 2 times 30, just for fun, is 60. 2 to the 30th is 1.073 billion. We're talking about additive as a straight line, if you graph it. Exponential is a parabolic curve that approaches almost vertical.
Amen.
And God wants to take the church vertical. There's an airplane the U.S. built us a spy plane years ago called the SR-71 Blackbird. How many know what the Blackbird is?
Ooh, I'd love to ride in that.
It still holds all the world speed records for an airplane. We're talking about lights out fast. And I've got a friend that was in the Air Force. And he was in a plane and they were flying, and somebody says an SR-71's pulling up next to us. So they're flying, you know, 500 miles an hour or so. Here comes the SR-71 next to him. And he's thinking, that didn't look that fast. And flying around, about the time the SR-71 did this, straight up. I mean, and it was lights, it was gone. Just gone. That plane carried so much power that it went so fast that when it went so fast, the friction of the air heated up the skin and sealed the gas tanks.
Wow.
Well, that plane was on the runway. It's leaking jet fuel all over the runway. It was maybe ran diesel. Running, leaking fuel all over the runway until it got up to speed and the tank and the skin heated up. It was lights out fast. And that plane would go vertical. And I'm telling you, God's calling the end time church. See, it's just me rambling right now, but God's calling the end time church to go vertical. You may be leaking anointing all over the place right now, but God says it's time to seal up and use it. We're going the highway. Exponential shift daily. We've seen some exponential shift in here. The stuff we've got done, we're now really about 3.5 months we've been in here.
Yeah.
The stuff we got done, I've got it all recorded in my journal at home. It's been out the roof what we've got done. We're actually, the HVAC system, I didn't think we'd get done until fall. Did it in 2.5 days. $10,000 job, the AC people were telling us we did for $700 in 2.5 days.
Praise the Lord.
And it's a better design than we were originally going to do.
Yeah.
Is this okay? I'm going to ramble for a little bit just to make these examples. Thursday. I'd already run the duct on this side. Just had the duct hanging, got a hole in the wall here. And I had to run this one. And I already had in mind what I wanted to do. I designed it in my mind, you know, a few weeks ago. And I went to put it in, and I have to run between these floor joists. It's 18-inch duct. The hole between the joists is only 14 and a half. It's got to squeeze some, you know, oval and go through. Well, I went to get ready to cut the hole, and somebody run a gas pipe right in my spot between the joists. Well, I can't go down to 8 inches or 7 inches. That would just almost crush the pipe. My plan wasn't going to work. I already stripped out ductwork downstairs. I'm thinking, this is not good. This is not looking good. And then I realized, wait a minute, I always win.
Right. Mm-hmm.
God, you got a way to do this. There's a way it's going to work. And I'm praying in the Spirit, walking down in that furnace room, looking around, what can I do? And it hit me. If I had a duct right here, I could tap into it. And that leftover duct downstairs I pulled out, I built a piece of duct. And I wrote on the front of it, do not scrap Pastor Jack. So if Sean came in and while one here, he would that would end up at the dump. I built it Thursday. It was for maybe Wednesday.
Amen.
put it up Thursday, tapped in, and I was able to run the flex duct from right here under the surround stage, loop it through there and come out. It was a better, shorter run and much easier to put in. What I thought was a setback was actually a promotion. I was able to see down on this one. To understand whether there's an 18-inch flex running behind here, taps into the duct down there through a floor and a ceiling. So I had to cut a square through the floor under there and cut a square for the ceiling to get to the duct. Then I had to hang down with my cutter and cut a hole in the duct to put the flex in. This one, because of the new plan, I'd already built my duct. I just cut it on the floor there. It's just shortcuts God gives you.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Like Jerry Seville said, you got favor.
That's right. So, what I'm getting at is, it was an exponential shift in our construction. The wiring downstairs, if I wanted to, in the next few days, I can completely finish rewiring the downstairs. We can max. No, we're not going to do it right now because of other stuff we're working on. A week at maximum, I thought it would take a year to rewire downstairs. Accelerated. House built, tore down in acceleration. Office is done. It was just boom, boom, boom. A long way to go, a short time to get there, and things are just ramping up. The right people coming at the right time to, you know, Wreck-It Ralph, Merrill. Coming down, we had already had her Wreck-It Ralph, man, she going to town. Acceleration.
Glory.
That's acceleration.
Yes.
In our getting the building ready.
Glory.
But God's got to have some fancy shoes there now. Some Robert Watson will wear those. God's looking for an acceleration in our development.
Yes.
And I'm seeing it as something. Starting, you're in acceleration right now. God's shifting. He's accelerating. You're getting up to speed with understanding faith and the power of your words and how to walk in peace and victory. And you're just taking off. And he's doing it with all of us.
Yes.
The word is coming forth. He's going to accelerate it.
Amen.
That's exactly what we need. See, you can go to church for 30 years and get a little bit of, you know, some psychological truth and some encouragement. 30 years and never really be changed.
That's right.
Yeah.
But God's raising up churches that every time they come together, it's a word God designed for you for that moment.
Amen.
And out of it, you're hearing God and he's growing you in acceleration.
Thank you, Lord.
As you cooperate with it, you're all in. All of a sudden, you're seeing yourself develop spiritually that you didn't think you never thought you could do.
Amen.
But you ain't seen nothing yet. Ain't seen nothing yet, right? I'm going. What God's about to do is going to totally. It's gonna short circuit our brains to some level.
Glory, hallelujah.
At least freak us out. We don't need that. But it's going to shock us.
Never been there.
And think if it shocks us, what's it going to do to the world?
Yeah.
How many here already, people that you've known in the past, friends, family, have said, you're not the same person I used to know? Karen. You're not the same.
Thank you, Lord.
I thought I knew you. You're not the person I used to know. What changed?
Amen.
The Word changed me. The Word delivered me. The Word has promoted me. The Word has empowered me. You, us. And God's about to do a work we can't comprehend. An exponential ramping up, but we need to get an expectation for it. You have not because you ask not. Ask not. Have I been in Kentucky that long?
Yes.
Praise you, Jesus. A long way to go and a short time to get there. But guess what? In acceleration, things change real fast. Especially in and around you. I was raised in the muscle car days. I mean, I had 268 Chevelles that would pin you to the seat. I rode in every muscle car out there. I had some fast cars, some fast motorcycles. Motorcycle, you better hang on. That's a good thing there's a backrest. But a few years ago, my daughter was dating a guy that had a Tesla. I don't know if you know anything about a Tesla or not. It'll blow away any muscle car I've ever been in. I mean, leave it standing. Mm-hmm. I know some fast cars can run with them now, but I'm talking 1,000 horsepower things. I've never ridden one. I rode this Tesla. He's running about 20 or so, and he pressed on it, and the speedometer just did this, and we're running 90.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm like this. I'm getting against the seat. My face is doing this. I've never known acceleration like that. I don't think a 747 takes off has that much acceleration.
Wow.
We were virtually... Good thing it's got autopilot. Running down the road. And I'm telling you, when we get an acceleration, things are going to change so fast, you'll feel like you're running in a Tesla or an F-15 or whatever it might be. It's going to be pinning you back. Get ready for transition. Get ready for chaos. Get ready for every day you get up, you don't know what the day's going to offer. Amen. Some days you'll get up, God say, you just better pray. Just pray. Oh, I tie up my hand. Shonda, tie my bow tie. You don't know what the day is going to offer. But God's moving in you so fast. But all of a sudden you're getting phone calls, divine encounters, everywhere you go. Someone wants to know about Jesus. There's somebody you need to lay hands on. And all of a sudden you're in a flow all day of just moving with God. Can you comprehend that?
Yes.
Can you expect that in your day? Because, see, I'm about to say something. If you stay in here and you're listening and applying to any level, you're going to see it.
Amen.
Oh, I can't believe all that. All things continue from the day, you know, from the days past. You just became a scoffer of what God wants to do in your life. I've had days where I got up and my day was just taking over with ministry stuff. Praying for people, counseling people. Just one after another. And I'll get home and say, I didn't get a single thing done on my list. But I was busy ministering all day. Maybe you've had some days like that. I think BJ does at the hospital. She just goes room to room praying for people sometimes. But it's going to get to the place you're seeing miracles. You're raising the dead. You're casting out devils. I've had days I've gone out ministering and have a day of casting out devils. Ministering, you know, the word. Well, that's what you do. I'm telling you, we're all called. Even in your secular position, you're called. And because the glory's coming, because God's going to move on His end time church, you're going to have days you don't have control anymore. Of course, Mary lives there. Connor keeps her hopping. See, right now I'm speaking this, and people, I don't know about that. You guys are non-linear. Expect it. I know I may be different. Some people, we're all different, right? I mentioned in the beginning of the service today, when I first got saved, the night I got saved, July 1st, 1984, God supernaturally gave me a revelation. This was His Word, and everything in it was true to recorded. It's not all true, it's true to recorded. See, I threw somebody for your loop there, didn't I? There's some lies in the Bible. God didn't tell them, other people told them. What do you mean? Well, the devil told Eve, "You shall not surely die." That was a lie.
Yes.
Do you follow me? See, you follow me now?
Yes.
There's lies in the Bible, true to record. Even Job's wife said this. Well, the Lord taketh, and the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. No, God's not in the taking away business. You're not putting a sickness on you to take away your health.
Right.
You follow me? It's true to record it, but it wasn't a true statement. It was a misunderstanding of who God is. I had a revelation. This was God's Word. It was all in there true. And I started going after God with everything I had. I mean, devouring this Word. And I started believing what it said. At least knowing it was available. Jesus, you can do the greater works. I want to target that. You can walk in divine healing. I want to target that. I saw him in the Word. Heard a preacher minister. I want that. And what I saw was, these signs shall follow those that believe. They shall speak with their tongues. They shall cast the devils. They shall heal the sick. They shall open the eyes of the blind. Good one. And raise the dead. And I start confessing every day. I will do all of those. I will cast the devils. I will heal the sick. Open the eyes of the blind. I will raise the dead. And I spoke for years I would raise the dead. And in 2013, I'm in Accra, Ghana. Pastor Bob dies on him. And his wife, Debbie, raised him from the dead. Not based on, well, I think this would be a good idea, of years of expectation. Years of applying non-linear expectation. You follow me? So now everybody's ever died in front of me, I've got to raise from the dead. Two of them. I don't believe all that. Yeah, it's true. I was there. He was dead. And you can start speaking non-linear over your life. Speak now what you're going to do in the future. Declare, I will heal the sick, I will raise the dead, I will cast up devils. Do you follow me? Paul declared this in 2 Corinthians 12. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I've been speaking that for decades. You know what? It works. God gives me a revelation of the Word. This morning we're talking about God's countenance. Revelation starts coming. Stuff I never preached before, never heard before. Out of non-linear decrees. Are you following me? There had to come a time the virgin gave birth. Had to come a time, multiple times, Israel was set free. How about this one? To me, the greatest miracle, you might call it a natural miracle, the greatest event that's ever taken place, I can think of historically, is Israel, really about 70 A.D., Nero burnt down Jerusalem, scattered the Jews. For almost 1,900 years, Israel ceased to be a nation.
Yes.
Ceased to have a land, we'll put it that way. There's no more Israel. After 70 AD, there was no more Israel. They were scattered throughout the world. The United States, Russia, of course, was no USA then. Russia, Germany, all these Jews all around Europe, Asia. And yet for 1900 years, they kept their national language. They kept bloodline purity. Purity is not the right word, but they intermarried. Jews with Jews to keep a national identity without a nation. There have been hundreds of nations throughout history that no longer exist that you don't know about, that have no identity anymore. You follow me? That they just, when they were conquered or ceased to exist, they dispersed among the other nations, intermarried, and disappeared. In other words, the bloodline's still there, but it's intermixed. Chances are you're made up of many different nationalities. I certainly am. You do the DNA test, and they'll say, well, you're part German, you're part English, or whatnot. American Indian and everything else. I think I've touched on every nationality out there. Yet Israel, for 1900 years, kept their identity, their language, their texts, their bloodline. And in 1948, with all the people trying to wipe them out, it wasn't just Hitler. Hitler was determined to exterminate the Jews to stop prophecy. Because Israel was so intermixed in end time prophecy, he was determined for 1900 years they survived, I'll shut them down. And killed 6 million of them. Anybody know the population of Israel right now?
About
8 million.
7-8
million.
Yeah.
Hitler killed 6 million of them. That would be almost the entire population of Israel today. In 1948, 3 years after the war, Israel was reestablished as a nation and given their homeland back. A small piece of it. It's still the devil's trying to wipe out. Still it's hated among the nations. Why? Because it's so prophetically tied to the end times of God winning. Right. Devil knows if he can destroy Israel, he wins. Yeah. What a great miracle for a nation. Only nation ever. This is when God says, that's my nation.
That's right.
You follow me?
Right.
The only nation ever to survive. Intact. For any amount of time. Let's just 1900 years. What a miracle. It had to happen, and God's about to fulfill prophecies for His end-time church to sound impossible. Arise, shine, for the light has come. Isaiah 6, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. My glory shall arise and be seen upon thee, and your sons and daughters shall come far, and kings shall be nursed at thy side. It's in the Word. There's no segment of time that can ever take place except right now. Or at least during this time on earth before the rapture. It's not post-rapture. It's pre-rapture. It has to be. And all this stuff tied, if you read Isaiah 60, Isaiah 61, all pouring us all through. I've got pages of scriptures. Prophecies of the Lord coming to earth. Habakkuk 2:14, right there, it's going to be filled with glory. There's got to be a day it happens.
Amen.
And it's not going to be an incremental shift. It's going to be a monumental outpouring. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Are you still with me?
Yes.
We're trying to make a mental shift that we expect to be divinely transformed. Rapidly. I did an experiment last year. It was a couple years ago, I guess. I did it in here, did it at a couple conferences where I made elephant toothpaste. Anybody ever seen elephant toothpaste beside in here? Anybody remember me doing it? You take hydrogen peroxide, stronger the better. You put it in a glass, put a little food coloring in it, take some warm water, some yeast, let it sit for a few minutes for the yeast to bloom, and pour the yeast in the hydrogen peroxide, and it shoots up foam, just shoots up. They call it elephant toothpaste. It's a child's, it's a kid's experiment. Anybody else ever done it? Just me. I get that all the fun. Shoots out of that glass because the yeast becomes a catalyst to the hydrogen peroxide, which is reactive, but it's very slow reactive. I need to touch on this a minute. Hydrogen peroxide, how many know what it is? How many know the chemical formula beside Charles? You do, Charlotte? The chemical formula for hydrogen peroxide is H2O2. Two atoms of hydrogen, two atoms of oxygen. Don't you love coming here to get those science lessons? And it's somewhat slow reactive. When you get peroxide, it's always in a dark bottle because light will cause it to accelerate its reaction. And it breaks down into H2O plus an oxygen atom. Really, two of them come off as an oxygen molecule. H2O plus oxygen. But it may take years for it to break down. Hydrogen peroxide will have an expiration date on it. It breaks down. And so, it's got a long time to go for that whole bottle to break down. But when you have the yeast, which is a catalyst, it accelerates the decomposition. And you get, whoosh, oxygen. Oh, you put a little soap in it too. That's right, a little bit of soap. A couple drops of Dawn detergent or something in it. And it makes all this oxygen release, turns into foam and shoots up. But the food coloring makes it colored. The yeast forces the peroxide to experience exponential growth. Exponential breakdown is really what it is. Separates it. And God's about to do something to release all the power and potential within us, all those giftings, everything He's got in you. He's been building in you for years. You were birthed with some of it. Take that gifting and mix the catalyst of the Holy Ghost in you in the right fashion. And all of a sudden you explode with anointing. In 1991,
front, left, door,
open. I've told this many times, that I've never been a person to speak publicly. I worked for IBM, was engineer with IBM. I was terrified to speak in public. Couldn't even say my name hardly. If they were in a class, they said, everybody just tell your name, I'd tremble. Like, what's my name now? Just didn't like to speak publicly. And IBM sent me to every assertive teaching class, Dale Carnegie, everything they could to try to get me to speak more freely. They knew I had gifts, I had ability, but I had problems expressing it in front of a group. With a few people, fine, but in front of a group, standing up, it's like, I was, shouldn't say terror, but just free. I'd write speeches down word for word to read. And 1991, I'm still working at the time. I'm getting in my van. Okay, he's behind the wheel. God, so why don't you start a Bible study at your house? I just heard a direct download from heaven. Follow me on this. A download from heaven. I want you to start a Bible study at your house. He said, do it Monday nights. Here's what, even what you call it, I believe he gave me, Taproot. And it was just a download, poof, like that. I got my van, said, okay, we're starting a Bible study in the house. Monday nights. Caught her by surprise. And I went and told my pastor what God said, if it was okay, got his permission. She said, yeah. Made flyers, did the whole thing. A week later, Monday night, we started our first Bible study. I still got the notes and flyers, everything. And I made me a pulpit out of a camera stand and a piece of plywood. Stepped behind it. No, and I told God, "God, you know I don't speak publicly." He didn't answer. I knew he said, "Do it." I said, "God, if I'm going to do it, you got to make me able." I stepped behind a homemade pulpit, and God anointed me to preach the word.
Amen.
It dropped on me, and now, what's it been, 35 years, it's never lifted. If I open this book, I can teach the word out of it. Comfortably. I don't care if it's in front of 10,000 people. I can teach this word. Why? Because there was a catalyst dropped on my life by the Holy Ghost that took me from can't speak at all to now a Bible teacher. I think it goes up. Is it okay with you and my Bible teacher?
Yeah.
Okay, just verify it. Y'all keep going, "Preach it, Pastor, preach it, Pastor." Come on. There was a divine shift that exponentially transformed my life. My whole life shifted from that day on. September 1991. Things took off as far as walking in the giftings of the Spirit. And I'm telling you, God's about to drop a catalyst on you. And more on me. That everything He's put in you. Some of you have been with me for 30 years. Peggy, you've probably been with me the longest next to Peggy.
A long time.
I mean, back in the 90s.
I'm trying to remember how old.
Shawna Casey, that's right. Been with her a long time.
Long time.
All the stuff God's been putting in, whatever church you're going to. Building is about to be released. It's kind of like the Jack in the Box, which I refuse to stay in. You push that clown head down in the box, although Jack's not a clown. I don't know if he got the name Jack. It's just a total misuse of words. Push him down in there and you start turning the crank. And pow! He didn't come up like this. There's a release. A trigger's pulled back by that crank. You know, once it reaches a certain point, and everything in it that was in there is released to explode. I want you to see that you are the Jennifer in the box. The finesse in the box. Whatever. You're the one that God's been building all the potential on all this time, and there has to be released. Why would God do it? Why would He give you all this revelation?
Right. Yes, exactly.
Does anybody believe that maybe you have in here more revelation than the average Christian?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
If you've been here a couple weeks, you do. God's been building stuff, and you're thinking, "Well, I'm just me. I'm not using me. You know, I just..." Why would He keep calling you back to the church where you're getting all this stuff?
Amen.
Why would He keep sometimes forcing you to come? No, you need to be there. Get out of bed. Pastor Jack told God you didn't show. How do I tell Him? He's not aware, but I tell Him. You know what I'm saying? And God, they didn't have a good excuse. He's building you for divine release. How can I say? Kairos time. A specific point where He pulls the trigger and boom, stuff explodes. It's important for us. Now think about it. Imagine yourself that you're the Jennifer in a box or whatever your name is, Robert in a box, and you're down like this. You got all this revelation, all this knowledge, all this stuff God's put in you, and you know what's in there. You believe that there's enough wisdom in you, you can heal the sick and raise the dead. You can do these things if you just had the opportunity. Or you know, maybe you don't realize that you've been learning, but you don't know what's in there. But you're pressed down and thinking, God, you're saying, "God, use me. God, use me." Start building an expectation what He's going to use you in. Say, "God, you built it in me. Give me release opportunities." And And I'm not about to jump up off this floor. Don't get your hopes up. But imagine this is slow motion. Pow! You had a release. God wants to use you in this fashion. But we've got to go non-linear in our expectations, because non-linear is coming. And here's what happens. You're here. You're running linear. But non-linear happens because you've been preparing. You've been speaking. You're expecting. Non-linear. I was speaking, I will raise the dead way before I was ever in ministry, way before I ever started a Bible study. I will heal the sick. I was speaking that way before. But non-linear happens. And you shoot up. You convert them. And look what happens. The linear people that wouldn't step out or expect, they've been in the same church. They're left behind. Here's another consideration. Hopefully I don't lose anybody with this. You know what? See what I think it is. Yeah, we should never have a Sharpie on the chalkboard. Here's the other thing to consider. Rapture. Non-rapture. I'm of the opinion that linear people may not make it in the rapture. Not the whole church. It's those that are pressing into the glory, pressing into the flames.
Sorry.
Now we know why the microphone didn't work.
Yeah.
It's the people determined to max out their opportunity. Anybody here like that? Is anybody here like that?
Yes.
I see anybody like that. Yeah, I'm trying to cheerlead and you're going.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah.
Hallelujah. 2 bits, 4 bits. Father, I thank you for your fire. I thank you for your word. I thank you for calling us to go nonlinear, to go off the charts, to come out of the box. To expect an explosion time in our life of the release of everything you put in us. I thank you. I give you praise in Jesus' name. I declare in this church there are none sick. There are none in pain, none in lack, none oppressed, none in fear, none in strife. And everyone expecting divine encounters. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask